Hello, my name is Rita Price. I'm a reporter at The Dispatch. I have covered social issues, social services, child welfare, disability issues here at The Dispatch for many years. The stories that we have coming up focus on a little known segment of the workforce in Ohio known as direct support providers. Actually, many advocates want them to be called direct support professionals, but the wages that these folks earn, you know, doesn't quite jibe with the title professional. So what we wanted to do was work with folks who are doing this work and talk to families, talk to individuals with disabilities to get a handle on the problems. And so here in Ohio and all throughout the nation, the trend for folks with disabilities is for them to be able to live in their homes and communities, you know, to live and work, go about their social activities that way. As a matter of fact, this is, you know, this is a federal push. This is a matter of policy. And these are the rights of folks under the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. But how this plays out depends on the workforce that can provide these services. And here in Ohio and all around the country, this is a workforce that has a lot of responsibility, but their compensation, there's pretty broad agreement that it doesn't match. You know, for example, the average wage for someone who is a support provider for someone with disabilities is about $11 an hour. As we worked on our stories, we talked to people who earn much less than that, you know, less than $9 an hour. I don't think we talked to anyone who made more than $12. And these are folks who are in homes. They're driving people around. They're providing, you know, all the activities of daily living that someone needs to be able to thrive. So it's a big job, but unfortunately, there is huge turnover, which brings us to why we're doing the stories on it. A lot of people throw the word crisis around. The turnover has gotten such in this industry that about half of the people with these jobs just leave, you know, in a matter of months or a year or so. And they don't stick with it, various reasons, but combination of the responsibility and the wages. And so what we wanted to do was just take a little bit of an inside look at that, talk to the people doing the work, go into homes, interview people with disabilities, talk to their family members, and show the effects of a struggling workforce, high turnover, and how that's really interrupting the continuity of care for a lot of people.
My name is Courtney Hergesheimer. I'm a photojournalist and videographer at The Dispatch, and I worked with Rita on this story. Rita, what is the most shocking thing to you after meeting and talking with so many people for this story?
I think it's the disconnect between the level of responsibility and the compensation for these workers, and then how we were just able to see really quickly how individuals and families struggle when that disconnect leads to a turnover, or when we were in homes where there are people with really, really intense needs. Maybe people have complex, difficult behaviors, you know, young adults with severe autism, for example, who can be a tremendous challenge to care for, just a tremendous challenge. And they also are the folks who need the most consistency with their support providers, because when there is change, when there's sudden change and upheaval, bad things can happen and they don't do as well. They have poorer outcomes. We saw that. And I think, Courtney, I remember a video you were working on where a mom invited us into their home, and she has a 15-year-old daughter with cerebral palsy, pretty severe disabilities, but her daughter is, you know, very age appropriate, cognizant of what's going on around her. And the family has really, really struggled to keep a provider to be with this teenage girl at home alone while her mom is working a night shift at a hospital. And as the family was trying to explain the stress and the difficulty there of having different people come into your home, having people who can't provide the services, having people quit, having people not understand the level of care, we watched the emotions really spill out. So maybe you could talk about that a little bit, Courtney.
Yeah, I was really touched by Adriana and her mom and just what they go through on a daily basis to try to keep people in the home, try to keep a provider. And watching Adriana become visibly upset talking about this issue was really upsetting to us, I think. She understands the issue. She understands the situation she's in. And it really just brought it home to what this is all about.
For sure. I've talked to, it's fair to say, dozens of families in the past few months. One mom I talked to, now this is going over years, and she has a son who's a young adult, but she estimates that she's had more than 150 different people in the home and providers over the years. We also, we made an effort to go to different corners of the state, you know,
know, this is a statewide issue. We went down to southeastern Ohio in a very rural area in Vinton County, where we worked with Amber and Juanita. Amber is a young woman with very severe disabilities, not intellectual disabilities, physical, but she has almost no movement of her hands, you know, legs, arms. So she's essentially dependent for everything.
Yeah, she joked that she has to, if she has an itch on her nose, she needs help scratching that.
Yep, it's that much. And her, the woman who is with her has been her, you know, very dedicated and very devoted support provider for, you know, 15 years. And she's only making $11 an hour. And the support provider has a daughter in college. You know, she has bills that are piling up. But what does she do? I mean, she can't bear to leave Amber, but she can't really afford to keep doing the work either. And to watch people discuss that kind of tug is what we hope to show with our stories.
And in that case, she actually recently took a pay cut to stay with Amber because, as she mentioned, she can go get another job easily, but who's going to take care of Amber? Who's going to be there for her?
Yeah, exactly. And we also talked to, you know, other workers who are doing this work. We talked to a direct support provider named Tammy. She's working in the Dayton area, southwestern Ohio. And, you know, she's done this type of work for years and she loves it. And we also don't, we hope that's not lost on listeners and viewers and readers. This is, we heard time and again people tell us how absolutely rewarding this work is, how important it is, how good they feel, how much of a difference they make in people's lives. And so it can be highly satisfying work at times. But again, you know, the balance is out of whack. We heard Tammy, I mean, it's just mind-boggling stuff. We heard her say she has worked 25-hour shifts. We talked to the CEO, the president of the agency that she works for. He talked about the difficulty they had this winter sometimes. Weather was bad. This agency provides a lot of staff to be in the homes for people with disabilities. And so when the weather was real bad, some of the daytime programs that people go to were closed. So anyways, as a result, they had a, you know, a need for staff to stick around. Well, the weather's bad. Some people don't show up and they literally couldn't allow some of their workers to go home. Workers needed to get home to their own families, to their own children. And they would have to say, yes, we'll pay you overtime, of course, but I'm sorry, you can't leave. There will be no one here for these folks. It was that bad in some places.
One advocate that I talked to called this profession an invisible profession. And it's amazing to see, once we got in there, the amount of work that these people do and just really kind of putting their own lives on hold for other people. And in the way that it's reflected in the pay scale is just also shocking, and that they probably don't feel valued at all.
Yeah, there are efforts in the state of Ohio, you know, to make a difference. The folks at the state will point out, and rightly so, that they were able to increase some of the rates that Medicaid pays for these services. And some of that increase a couple years ago was passed along, you know, in the form of small rises to some of these workers. But it's still, you know, it's a little bit of a drop in the bucket. And it's hard to move the wages very often. These services, by and large, are paid for with Medicaid, and the state sets the Medicaid reimbursement rates. You know, say, for example, for an hour of one-on-one personal care to someone with disabilities, the reimbursement rate, you know, to a company that provides these services might be about $20 an hour. So, and maybe you've got an employee making $10 or $11 an hour. Sounds like a big difference, but, you know, a lot of overhead has to come out of that as well. You know, whatever the taxes, the other overhead that the agency pays. So the view is that the margins are pretty slim. On the other hand, it's difficult for there to be an appetite legislatively here in Ohio or all over the country to really give a big, big boost to those wages.
Rita, maybe you should talk about, is there a push to get more people out of nursing homes, out of facilities, and into the community?
Yeah, that is what people want. This is public policy. This is the trend. You know, whether you're an elderly person who doesn't want to be in a nursing home, someone with disabilities, or someone with a chronic illness, the idea is that you're going to thrive better, you know, in your home or in your own chosen setting. But again, that only works as well sometimes as the quality of the care that you receive. The state of Ohio and a lot of organizations, nonprofit organizations, companies that provide these services have a recruitment effort going on. They have a website and they're trying to bring more people to this work. They want to highlight the rewards. They want to show that there are some opportunities for advancement. And that's true, but it's a tough slog, you'll hear many of them say.
I got to witness Adriana at home and in her community, and that was really eye-opening. She goes to a regular middle school. She is in regular classes, and she participates and has friends, and she is very much a part of her community. I think her mom sees that as there is no other option. She needs to stay at home and be part of the community.
Another issue, too, for many families is the quality of the folks doing the work. Again, by and large, you know, most people doing this work are, you know, good people with their hearts and minds in it for the right reasons. But when wages are so low, you're going to have problems with your applicant pool. You're going to have trouble attracting good people to your applicant pool. And we saw that as well in working with one family. They've had six different companies they've worked with in about a year and a half, and they've had a lot of strange things happen along the way. They had someone working there who actually was on a federal exclusion list, shouldn't have been there. They have had some agencies who are, you know, really, really scrambling so much for employees that they're maybe taking some people on who are questionable. Like a lot of lower wage jobs, there are a lot of recent immigrants who are attracted to those jobs. You know, they haven't been here long and don't have a big skill set built up yet. So many of them are hired. However, you know, they take on pretty high responsibility work without always having the language skills. And there are some cultural barriers that can play out in some tough ways for families too. We talked to a family who, you know, in that experience had some workers there, and perhaps not the fault of the workers, you know, they weren't aware of, you know, the proper types of food preparations for these folks, you know, purchasing, even operating appliances. One family member said that an agency that they were working with sent some workers there who were going to be providing services in an apartment for two young adults, men with pretty severe autism. They both don't communicate verbally well. So it's, you know, it's pretty high needs care. But the guys, the clients, they, you know, have certain things they like to eat and do and that. And the family member said that the staff members didn't even know how to operate the microwave. Like, they would put items in the microwave for like 10 minutes until food was turning to charcoal, or, you know, Hot Pockets were served frozen. Ice cream was put away in drawers, like in, you know, unrefrigerated drawers, doors broken off of washers and dryers. So there are a lot of strange things that happen. I had one superintendent of a developmental disabilities board here in Central Ohio said, you know, sometimes he steps back and looks at the situation right now, and he feels that anybody who can walk and chew gum right now is going to get a shot at getting hired in this workforce. And that's not the way you want it to be. And you can hear from lots of families, from some people who do this work. Read our stories in the Dispatch newspaper. Go to dispatch.com online, where we'll have videos as well.
Thank you for listening.